Good morning.
Noisy here. 8:52 a.m. on Tuesday, the 12th of August, 2014. News of Robin Williams it's on my mind. 17:43, still 18 minutes, okay. It echoed pretty loudly in our house because of the recent events and because three of the four of us are struggling with depression in one form or another. One of the reasons that it's on my mind is a post that a certain foul-mouthed pop author tweeted that sort of indicates that he really doesn't understand the issue at all. Good morning. And that was that it's okay to ask for help. The surface truth of the platitude is, well, duh. And the problem is, that the nature of the condition is that even though you know it's okay, the condition convinces you that you're not worth it. And so by saying that, I was like, oh, seriously? If you had a clue, you'd probably have a different job. So I think that's about all I'm going to say about it, other than try to laugh today. That would be a good tribute. I'm probably not going to make you laugh today, but I never know. The second mile has just started. I still have, if the recent past is any indicator, I still have about 15 minutes, perhaps a little more. So, yeah. Now, the other thing is still the Hachette Amazon. John Scalzi has a frequently asked questions that really underscores why I haven't really read Scalzi. Over and above the fact that he's mainstream published and his books cost too much, generally speaking. That he self-published 15 years ago doesn't really cut any ice with me. Technically, I suppose he's a hybrid. Yeah, okay, fine. But somebody pointed out, and I won't point any fingers by saying who, and somebody pointed out that in all of his latest works, you're always on the last nerve. You're not getting on my nerve, you're getting on my last nerve. Like, it's not significant unless it's the last one. And most of the witty repartee is mostly smartass. And well, yeah, having one smart-ass character is probably a good idea. Having all smart-ass characters just means it gets tedious. Sort of like living with a Boy Scout troop. Or listening to 14 teenage girls. So yeah, it's difficult. There was a reasoned post that came across on the Passive Voice today about, I think it was Talking New Media or someplace. We were talking about, depending on whether you're author or the publisher, sort of controls where you fall on the continuum. And it was, you know, it was a fairly reasoned response, but the item that got me was that Hachette is just trying to maximize profits. And from the perspective that they're trying to maximize profits by protecting their paper sales, that's probably true. And the problem I have is in protecting the paper sales. They still see themselves in the book business, not in the story business. It's the same with all the bigs. They think of themselves in the book business. And not in the story business. I suppose to a certain extent that argument extends into something else that I found problematic. And that's the subscriber model. Now the Kindle Unlimited. So where if you pay $9.95 you can read any book that's enrolled in Kindle Unlimited. And for a short time only, anybody enrolled in Prime can read Kindle Unlimited. I was offered a Kindle Unlimited book just the day before yesterday, I think. I didn't take it. I took a sample. And if I like it, I'll add it to my archive. Now, my difficulty with this subscriber model is the same problem I had with the Netflix model, when they only had a couple of hundred movies. If what you're looking for isn't in the program, your incentive to pay the $9.95 all you can eat books you don't want to read isn't exactly a good value. Also, if you're not a book a week reader, $9.95 is somewhat limiting, because you're paying too much for books you're not going to get to. So, while I'm pretty sure it's aimed at the high-volume reader, the problem with aiming at the high-volume reader is that you need to have a lot of books. Not just any books, the books they want to read. So that means if you're a romance reader, and most, I suspect, I don't have any real hard data, but I think if market share is any indicator and predictor, the distribution of high readers in any given genre is pretty much stable. I suspect nonfiction readers are less likely to read a book a day. But romance readers, yeah, a book a day is not unheard of. A book a week is about the bottom edge of heavy reader, and what I would define heavy reader as. And the reality is that in the United States, anyway, more than half the people didn't read a book last year. If some of the Pew Internet Use polls are to be believed. Pew Media polls, I guess it would have been. Anyway, so there's this issue of how many readers are there, and how many books can they read, and where are you aiming $9.99 at? $9.99 or $9.95, I can't remember. Call it 10 bucks. So where are you aiming at 10 bucks at? The heavy readers are the ones who are going to want to enroll, because it's going to save them money. And for the most part, they're going to read them and toss them. So, yeah, it's not a biggie. A subscription model is sort of like the way we use Netflix in my house now to watch TV shows that are completed, so that we don't have to wait for the next episode. We've just finished the first season of Heroes. The season closer was a complete and utter letdown to me, because the obvious solution to the problem was completely ignored and overlooked. Peter Petrelli can fly. So why did he need his brother to lift him into the stratosphere so he could explode? Other than the two actors didn't get their contracts renewed for the next season. I don't know, maybe they did. It's the whole thing is sort of like, seriously? This is how you you took the series that already has several freight train saves plot holes, and this is the one that you choose to close it with. But I digress. So anyway, yeah, subscription models work if the pool of content to pull from for the subscriber is significant. And one of the problems is that a lot of their potential subscribers are going to be genre readers. Now, I'm not enrolling any of my books in Kindle Unlimited because of the Monk Post. No, not because of the Monk Post, but because of the exclusivity agreement. You have to be in Select in order to put your book in Kindle Unlimited. And I'm not going back in Select unless there's a heck of a better reason than 65 cents or whatever it is that I would get out of a $9.95 a month subscription. And the problem, of course, is that this model isn't tenable. Morning.
Morning.
And the reason I say that it's not tenable is that it has to be attractive enough for the author to put his work in. And in order for me to put my work in, I need to make $2. So every time somebody downloads it on Kindle Unlimited, I want my $2. And if it's going to be $1.25 or whatever the Kindle lending library is, I think it's like $1.60, which rounds up to $2 but isn't actually $2, and we're talking about 10,000 units. That 40 cents becomes $400. Or is it 4,000? Yeah, 4,000. I'm terrible with decimal points. My brain is not working correctly these days, so bear with me. If I do arithmetic in my head, chances are the answer I give you is wrong, so just factor that in. So there's no incentive for me to put them into Kindle Unlimited because I'm not seeing a vast movement of people withdrawing their content from the wider world of Kobo and Nook. I don't hear anybody saying, oh, we need to abandon iBooks. Some question in my mind as to why you would go into iBooks to begin with, but that's a customer service issue more than a revenue thing. Thanks to both of my readers, by the way. All right, in honesty, it's up to like 6. Of the tens of thousands of books I've sold on Kindle, I've sold less than a double handful on iBooks. So yeah, the market is not exactly uniform and robust across all platforms, which is one of the reasons why being on multiple platforms makes a certain amount of sense. There are people, and it used to be the romance people were really, really big on Nook. I mean, if you had a romance novel that was not on Nook, you weren't selling anything. That romance really took off on Nook. And I'm laying that directly to the color screen and the cover art. The titillating cover art looks a lot better in full color than it does in grayscale. And it, notably, that romance writers are seeing upticks as Kindle Fire and the Kindle tablet and probably the new Kindle phone, which present covers in full color, has grown in adoption. So I'm not saying that that's the case or that's the cause, but it's interesting to note that the Nook, which actually was a superior device and still is a superior device, even my old Nook, in many ways to the Kindle, suffers from being tied to a completely inadequate storefront. I don't own a Kobo device, so the only thing I can go by is what the Kobo app on my phone is. And the Kobo storefront reminds me so much of Barnes & Noble that I have to check the URL every time I log in to look at a Kobo book. The publisher interface, the back side of Kobo Store, is actually pretty good. I like the way Kobo presents its author-publisher data. And I still have one book that is marked unpublished and frozen. And I can't delete it. I can't stop it. I can't get rid of it. It just hangs there in my interface as unpublished, which is curious. And even after repeated exchanges with Kobo support, their best solution is, well, just republish it. This one won't make any difference. Okay. You're the people who own the database. You can't, like, kill the record. And apparently the answer is no. So anyway. But back to the subscriber model. The problem with the subscriber model is, in order to attract subscribers, you have to have content that they want. And in order to attract the content that they want, you have to make the terms agreeable to the people who provide the content. Now, so far, those terms are not acceptable to me. Now, whether or not they're going to be acceptable to enough people that it's going to force me into it, I don't know. Being exclusive to Amazon does not strike me as in my best interest. I understand why Amazon wants to do it, but I'm still selling about 10% in the other markets. 10% combined in the other markets. And so leaving 10% on the table is enough of a reason for me to push paperbacks out, because that's about how much I'm selling in paperback, about 10%. And I only have like 3 or 4 books out in paper, and I'm basing that on the sales of the title against title, so not 10% overall. If I were selling 10% overall with only 4 books or 3 books, I guess it's 3 books, I'd be probably turning myself inside out to get the others out. And as it is, I'm having a difficult enough time just dealing with the day-to-day. Oh, speaking of day-to-day, yesterday, one of the fun things that happened yesterday was that I did the walk early. I got out, I did the walk, I got back, I got the podcast posted, I went and got some breakfast, and on my way back down over the Soul Stairs, I tripped. Now, I don't often wear, in fact, almost never wear shoes in the house. And these new boots have really thick, luscious soles. And the heels haven't been worn down. So what happened was that I caught the heel of my boot on the stairwell, on one of the risers of the stairs, about halfway down. And fell the rest of the way, which for an old guy like me is kind of a problem, potentially. Luckily, I managed to keep my feet and my coffee, but I had to sacrifice the bagel with cream cheese and salmon. So there's cream cheese and salmon, or there isn't anymore, but it was cream cheese and salmon halfway down the stairs. And I stubbed my toe inside my boot. I stubbed my toe, practically ripped my toenail off the big toe. So I'm not exactly walking pain-free this morning. I was like, Jesus, he put shoes on him and he can't walk? What the hell is this? To me, it was quite funny. To my wife, it was quite alarming. I am, by and large, fine. I twisted a little bit, I stretched too much, but... 18:21 on the back half. Well, you know what? Tough. The lawn company is coming tomorrow to aerate. I'm supposed to have cut the lawn short and marked the sprinkler heads. Any want to bet what I haven't done? If you guess both, you're right. Or either, I guess, would be the right answer. I suppose I get some chopsticks and come out and mark the sprinkler heads. I don't know what time they're coming tomorrow. But I don't think the lawn's going to get mowed. To which I reply, yeah, you know, it'll do. At any rate, I am at the back gate tomorrow. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.